Good morning, world. With news and commentary for the 30th of June, 2005, I'm King David McKenzie. As of 11:15 Universal Coordinated Time, here's how the world is treating itself. United Press International reports that Saddam Hussein has refused a request to meet with U.S. officials as a prisoner. He will only meet as the president of Iraq. UPI claims that Donald Rumsfeld is asking Hussein to call for the Iraqi resistance to put down their arms in exchange for Rumsfeld preventing the court from sentencing Hussein to death. Hussein is refusing. The House of Representatives okayed an automatic $3,100 per annum raise next year. The vote on Tuesday was 263 to 152. Do you have anything to say to them about it? Well, after you send your message, would you mind sending me a copy of what you tell the hired help on the Hill, as Will Rogers used to call them? The email address is on the end of this report. I'd like to share the ideas amongst you. Phil Oakes once complained that the Congress of 73 wouldn't stand up to Warren Harding. We now seem to have both an even weaker Congress and resident at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. GWB is preaching to an even smaller choir than was anticipated on Tuesday night. Overnight ratings show an audience of only 23 million listeners. That compared to the infamous Mission Accomplished pile of cow chips 2 years ago last month, which got 48,400,000 listeners. More people have probably seen the recent surveillance cam shots of that deer in a Massachusetts grocery or the moose in an Anchorage ER. All to prove, the more you lie, the less we listen. Over 100,000 workers held a massive protest rally this morning in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia. It was the largest protest there since the anti-war action of Valentine's Day 2003, and the largest labor union demonstration in many more years. The point of contention was the John Howard regime's industrial relations policy reforms. Full information can be found at melbourne.indymedia.org. Another 12,000 marchers in Perth across Australia from Melbourne held their own anti-Howard action. Another such rally in Sydney, just as Howard's Tories will be taking control of the Australian Senate, is scheduled for meeting at Town Hall by 10 a.m. or so and marching to Sydney Harbour tomorrow. You've heard by now that John Walton, the heir to the Walmart fortune, was killed in an experimental airplane flight a few days back. There's an interesting theory floating around the Usenet to the effect that Walton may have been taking a test flight for himself for a prototype of an aluminum-framed aircraft Walmart was testing to merchandise as a cheap alternative to commercial flights. If true, that would indicate that the seventh richest man in the world fell victim to his own company's obsession with cheapness. Concerned parents from Coal River Valley, West Virginia, have tried to deliver a list of demands yesterday to the company brass at Massey Energy's offices at Richmond, Virginia. The primary demand was and remains that Massey close its preparation plant, coal silo, 1,849-acre mountaintop removal mine site, and 2.8 billion gallon coal sludge dam toxic waste storage facility, all immediately adjacent to the Marsh Fork Elementary School in Sundial, West Virginia. Two of those delivering the demands were arrested for trespassing. The playground and air system at the school have coal dust and chemicals all through them. Instead of considering the demands, Massey Energy plans to build a second coal silo right next to the first. Aboriginal activists in Canada have filed a lawsuit in Winnipeg to seek reparations from mesothelioma and asbestos-related deaths on Manitoba reservations. Defendants in the suit are the W.R. Grace Mining Company and the Manitoba Provincial Government. Last week, one of the plaintiffs, Raven Thundersky, was named a Canadian hero by the Canadian edition of Time magazine. The local dog catcher in Victoria, British Columbia, is threatening to put the bite on Victoria Indie Media. Ian Fraser, the owner of Victoria Animal Control Services, has his detractors in the general populace, one of whom published an exchange with him on victoria.indymedia.org, and while that piece has been removed from the site, Victoria Indie Media is soliciting other accounts of run-ins with Fraser. This is not the first time that Fraser has squelched a webpage. Last autumn, he threatened to sue citizencanine.org if another article criticizing him wasn't yanked from that site. It was. Hamilton, Ontario has a new print magazine, The Hammer. The subject matter is mainly challenging myths of Canadian nationalism. Some material is seen online at hamilton.indymedia.org. Some material is exclusively on print. If you are in Hamilton, you should be able to find a few copies of it at Hemp Life Works, which is at 143 Lock Street South. A reminder that this newscast originates from three different locations on the World Wide Web: WhiteRoseSociety.org, RadioForAll.net, and Radio.IndieMedia.org. Please offer these websites, as well as any other online or broadcast station airing this newscast, whatever support you possibly can, okay? You can email me at thevoiceoflabor@centurytel.net. That's thevoiceoflabor, L-A-B-O-R, at centurytel, C-E-N-T-U-R-Y-T-E-L .net. And I'll be seeing you here again tomorrow. I'm King David McKenzie. Remember, fear and God do not inhabit the same space. Now go on, make your own news today. So, all right, see you later.